Joshua chapter 18. Go and possess. I came across a story a number of years ago. And clearly, this story would have taken place probably about a century or so ago. It appears this man saved up. He scrimped and he saved every penny he could, sacrificing in any way that he possibly could to purchase a ticket on a luxury liner that would cross from Europe to America. He finally gets enough money saved up. He's finally able to scrape up the cash to purchase that ticket. And he thinks to himself, you know, I've worked, I've saved. Finally, I'm going to be on this luxury liner. I'm going to be headed toward America. But I haven't been able to come up with enough money for food. So what does the man do? He does the only thing he can think of to do. He gets together some cheese and crackers. And so every day, whenever mealtime would come around, the men and women, the couples aboard that luxury liner, they would assemble in the grand dining room. And they would feast upon this grand buffet. Different meats and vegetables and fruits and anything you could think of was right there on that grand buffet. But this man, he would go back to his own cabin and he would reach into his bags and he would take out a couple of those crackers and a little bit of that cheese, and he would nourish himself on those cheese and crackers. About the last day of the journey, as they could see off in the distance, America, mealtime comes around. He starts to make his way back toward his own cabin. Somebody stops him and says, "Hey, I've noticed that every day at mealtime, you don't join the rest of us. You don't come in and eat with the rest of us. What's going on with that?" He said, "I've saved for years. I've scrimped and saved for years to purchase this ticket. And all I was able to come up with was enough money for the ticket, and I don't have the money. I wasn't able to come up with the money to join in with the meals in the dining hall." And the man said, "You don't understand. The meals are all included. The meals are all included. You and me have a ticket that you didn't have to scrimp for, you didn't have to save for. The ticket that you and me have is a ticket that was purchased out of the lavish riches of God. And it's not just a ticket just to make it across, but it includes everything along the way." Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that the one who started, the one who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus. Everything in between. Everything in between the beginning and the finishing is paid for out of His lavish riches by His shed blood. Go and possess. Think about we as Americans. We as Americans have built into our DNA, have built into our heritage the notion of manifest destiny. Manifest destiny got us from just being a small little colony on the coast of Virginia to head west through the Cumberland Gap through the wilderness territory, across the great and mighty Mississippi River. When news of gold in California hit the news, Manifest Destiny drove men and families to California. Manifest Destiny drove those early colonists to settle this land from ocean to ocean. Those early Americans knew what it meant to go and possess. But what does God say about going? What does God say about possessing? To both Adam and Noah, God said, be fruitful and multiply. To Abraham, God said, go from your country, from your family, from your father's home. Go to a land that I will show you. Later to Abraham, God said, every male among you shall be circumcised. Go and possess. Isn't just this willy-nilly notion that whatever way I want to serve God, whatever way I want to follow God, I can do. But going and possessing means doing things God's way. And God's way was have every male of your household circumcised. You and me as believers are commanded. The first act of our obedience after conversion is to follow through with believer's baptism, which is our bloodless circumcision. Going and possessing for Joseph, men instructing his brothers, instructing his sons, that when the time comes to carry up his bones from here. Going and possessing for Moses meant going back to his own people who were captives in Egypt and declaring to those Israelites, I am sent me to you. I am sent me to you. You're not called to be slaves. You're called to a home of your own. You're called to possess the land that God showed Abraham. Going and possessing for David and for you and me means wrapping our hearts and minds around the words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Go and possess. Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Know that He is your shepherd. Know that in Him you will not want. In Him you will have green pastures to lie down in. In Him you will be led beside still waters. Dwell in His house. Don't wait to die and dwell in His house. Dwell in His house now. He who began a good work in you at conversion, and He who will complete it when you breathe your last here, He's also God in between. Dwell in His house, not here, not just here, but in between. Salvation is all of God from beginning to finish and everything in between. Joshua chapter 18, beginning in verse 11. The lot of the tribe of Benjamin, according to their clans, came up. The territory allotted to it fell between Judah and Joseph. The northern border goes from the north, from the Jordan up the northern slope of Jericho. It runs westward into the hill country and extends to the wilderness of Bethaven. The border passes from there southward toward Luz, to the slope of Luz, that is Bethel, and descends to Ataroth Adar on the hill south of lower Beth-horon. On the western side of the border, turns south from the hill that lies to the south near Beth-horon, and it extends toward Kiriath Baal, that is Kiriath Jearim, a city belonging to Judah. This is the western border. The southern border starts from Kiriath Jearim and goes out westward to the spring of the waters of Nephtoah. The border then descends to the foot of the mountain that lies by the valley of Ben Hinnom, which is at the north end of the valley of Rephaim. It descends from the Hinnom Valley to the slope of the Jebusites and down to En-Rogel. The border runs north and goes out to En-Shemesh and Gileath, which is opposite the ascent of Adummim, and descends to the stone of Bohan, the son of Reuben. It passes toward the slope north of the Beth Araba and descends to the Arabah. The border passes north of the slope of Beit Hagla, and it runs out to the northern tip of the Dead Sea at the southern end of Jordan. This is the southern border. The Jordan forms the eastern boundary. This is the inheritance of the tribe of Benjamin, according to their clans, by its boundaries all around. This is the inheritance. This is the inheritance. This is the inheritance. As we go to the Lord in prayer, think upon the inheritance that He's given you and me, and the necessity to go and possess. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we bow before You. Lord, we thank You for this inheritance that we have in Christ, in whom we are made co-heirs, joint heirs of all Your blessings. Lord, we who were undeserving, we who were selfish, we who did not look to You, did not turn to You, did not seek You, we who were worthless, You made of worth. And You gave us an inheritance. Lord, teach us. Strengthen us. Move us to go and possess the land before us. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Verses 11 through 20, we see the boundaries. And then in 21 through 28, we're going to see the people. Isn't it interesting that in this text, we see the boundaries first, and then we see the people? Up until this point, we've seen the people. We saw the people when we went through the book of Exodus, as they moved from Egypt through the wilderness. As we began this book, we saw the people as they were on that eastern bank of the Jordan, and as God gave instructions for crossing over. We saw the people as they pilfered Jericho. And at least the second time, pilfered Ai. We saw the people as they've taken the land. They've driven back the Canaanites. But here, in this text, the Lord God focuses on the boundaries before he focuses on the people. Think about the creation. At the creation, the Lord God made a garden of every good tree that was good for food. And he placed in the center of that garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told Adam, said, don't eat of it. God created the boundaries of the garden. God created the boundary of the law. Do not eat of this tree. When Adam fell, the Lord God made the first sacrifice. The boundary being that for the atonement for sin would be a blood sacrifice. Abel got it. Cain couldn't wrap his head around it. God set the boundary of a blood sacrifice before he called a people to himself. And in Abel we see the beginning of a people called to himself, recognizing his boundary. Jesus in the Gospels said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What's the boundary? Jesus is the boundary. This world tries to put bumper stickers on their cars made up of all the different symbols of the various world religions that simply reads, coexist. And they include in that coexist as the T, the cross. But it's not the cross of Christ, because the cross of Christ does not coexist with Buddhism or Judaism or Islam. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, that was the boundary. There is no manner of coexisting. You either come to the Lord God through Christ or you do not come at all. You either know Jesus as Lord or you know him as judge. Because those coexist folks, they will stand before God. But they will not know him as Lord. They will know him only as judge. And they will hear the words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Even those liberal Christians who try to attach a cross to the T and coexist, they're not Christians, they're apostates. They do not know the Lord. If they knew the Lord, then they would know that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. That's the boundary. God sets the boundaries before he establishes his people. In worship, we have boundaries. We only do that which is prescribed in the Scriptures. We pray, we sing, we confess, we take the Lord's Supper. We don't get into a fog and light show. We don't do special singing that brings more attention to the singer than it brings attention to God. our worship, our public worship, is to the one triune God. And everything we do must be grounded in this book right here. The people, verse 21. The cities belonging to the tribe of Benjamin according to their clans were Jericho, Beit Hagla, Emek, Kazes, Beit Araba, Zemarim, Bethel, Avim, Parah, Ophrah, Kephar, Ammoni, Ophni, and Geba, 12 cities with their villages, also with Gibeon, Ramah, Beeroth, Mizpah, Kephira, Mozah, Rechem, Erpil, Terlah, Zelah, Haleph, Jebusite city, that is Jerusalem, Gibeah, and Kiriath, 14 cities and their villages. And at this point, after reading all those names, I wish I'd assigned this text to Eric. This is the inheritance of the tribe of Benjamin according to their clans, the people. Remember last week? Last week, they brought the tent of meeting to Shiloh. Shiloh wasn't going to be the permanent place. Jerusalem was destined to be the place of worship. But Shiloh was going to be that temporary place where the tent of meeting would be set up, where the priests would do their duties, the place where the people would look for atonement, for peace with God. But also last week, we saw the people with their hands in their pockets. Only a couple of tribes at that point had gotten their inheritance. Seven tribes were still homeless. Seven tribes hadn't yet taken possession of that which the Lord God had given them. But were those seven tribes any different than you and me? Were they any different than you and me? Are you and me any different than that man who scrimped and saved, got together all the money he could, bought that ticket on that luxury liner to cross the Atlantic, and thinking that he didn't have the money, didn't have the means to participate in those meals in that grand dining hall, packed a few crackers and a little bit of cheese, and would go to his cabin at mealtime and would nourish himself on cheese and crackers when upstairs there was a grand buffet and it had all been paid for. Are you and me like that man? We're eating cheese and crackers when there's a grand buffet on the next floor and it's already been paid for. Are you and me like those ancient Israelites, like those seven tribes who came for worship, who brought the tent of meeting to Shiloh, but they were standing with their hands in their pockets, not having taken possession of that which the Lord God had given them. Now, in this text this morning, they have boundaries. The boundaries of the inheritance of Benjamin have been named, and the people can no longer stand with their hands in their pockets. Now it's time to build a home. Now it's time to establish a land. Now it's time for the nations around, for the people to look on, for the nations around to look on the people of Israel and see Israel being made right in this world. Now's the time for those around you to look on you and see you being made right in this world today. Now is the time for you to stop eating cheese and crackers and eat of the banquet the Lord God has prepared for you. And He's prepared a massive buffet right here. He's prepared all the meats, all of the breads, all of the vegetables, all of the choice wines right here. But sadly, too many Christians will go home on Sunday morning and they'll throw this by the wayside and it'll collect dust for the next 7 days. They've had a few cheese and crackers on Sunday morning in worship, but they're missing out on the banquet that's been paid. Oftentimes, whenever John plans for us to sing Standing on the Promises, he'll make us stand. And he reminds us each time that you cannot stand on the promises if you're sitting on the premises. That's what the children of Israel were doing. That's what that man was doing on that luxury liner when he was looking to his own cheese and crackers and not participating in the dining hall. He was sitting on the premises. He hadn't read the fine print on that ticket that he had scrimped and saved for. He hadn't read the fine print that said meals are included. You and me fail over and over and over again to read the fine print. That He is not just God at conversion. He is not just God when He calls you home. He is God in between. He has a banquet. Throw away your cheese and crackers. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And he went on to say in that text, the just shall live by faith. Stashing away a few cheese and crackers ain't living by faith. Will you live by faith today, or will you live by your own cheese and crackers? Will you be ashamed of the gospel, or will you be unashamed of the gospel with Paul? Will you know that the gospel is the power of God? Or will you live as if it is powerless? I call upon you to live as the just by faith. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank You for the banquet that You've prepared for us. Lord, every one of us are guilty from time to time of running to those cheese and crackers. Every one of us are guilty from time to time of hiding cheese and crackers in this drawer or that drawer. Or in the glove box, or wherever. Help us to know that You're not just God who saves us. You're not just God who calls us home, but You are God right here, right now. That You are the one that's sanctifying us. that you are the one that's prepared a great banquet. You are the one who calls us to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, to possess the world for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.